We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Buffalo Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
Center Ryan Dzingel and the Carolina Hurricanes agreed to terms on a two-year contract that will pay him $3.25 million in 2019-20 and $3.5 million in 2020-2021. Dzingel established career highs in goals. He had 30 assists, 56 points in 78 regular season games last season with Ottawa and Columbus. Forward Joel Armia agreed to terms on a two-year $5.2 million contract with the Canadiens yesterday. Armia had an NHL career-high 13 goals in 57 games with Montreal. Canadiens also locked in forward Arturi Lehkonen to terms on a two-year $4.8 million contract yesterday. Lehkonen had a career-high 31 points with 11 goals, 20 assists, played all 82 with the Canadiens. The number two pick in the draft this year, forward Kaapo Kakko, agreed to terms on an entry-level contract with the Rangers yesterday. Kakko had 38 points in 45 games for TPS in Liiga, Finland's top professional league. Last season, his 22 goals were the most ever by a player 18 or younger in league history. According to a report, following the acquisition of forward Phil Kessel on June 29th by the Coyotes, season ticket sales at the, is it the Gila River Arena in Glendale, that changed again. Mm-hmm. Arizona are up 600% compared to the same week last year, including a 550% increase in all ticket sales. Coyotes have had a 94% renewal of season tickets, the highest since the team moved to Glendale in 03-04. Kessel scored at least 30 goals in six times in the NHL, won the Cup twice with the Penguins. And I have to mention, Novak Djokovic just advanced to the Wimbledon final, so he's moving on. And I also have to mention, John Vogel's in studio here with the instigators, Brian Duff and myself. Duffer now a full-time instigator. Mm-hmm. It's National Pecan Pie Day, gentlemen. We like to celebrate national days around here, and fun facts, it's National Pecan Pie Day. You have a favorite pie, Duffer?
Mom,
is it a seasonal
mom
thing?
Mom used to make a pretty darn good strawberry rhubarb. Strawberry, I mean, every rhubarb pie she makes is terrific, but strawberry rhubarb was pretty good.
Cherry or key lime, depending on the day.
Kelly in the back makes pies for everyone on their birthday. Well, she makes everything, bakes everything. And I got a key lime pie on my birthday because that's my favorite. I got
it
one.
It was unreal.
Yeah, were you here that day?
I was.
Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal. So key lime pie is my favorite. And also should be mentioned in the sports update, Brock Lesnar turns 42 today. You a wrestling fan, John Vogel?
I am a big wrestling fan.
Yeah,
yes,
all right. Indeed. That's your sport. He just retired, didn't he?
No, he's back. He's got the Money in the Bank briefcase at the moment, which gives you the chance to challenge any champion and at any time to a match. So he's kind of a part-timer now, but he didn't officially retire.
Is that where they have to climb the ladder and undo it from the top there?
There was a lot of controversy because eight guys broke their bodies to try and win that match, and he showed up at the last second and grabbed it and then went back and collected $1 million, and then that's pretty much all he does nowadays.
This business just getting bigger and bigger, the WWE.
It is. I bought my kid's stock for his 16th birthday in WWE. It was $9.29. It went over 100 a couple months ago. It's down to about 85 now. But
money bags. Look who's buying lunch, courtesy of Vince McMahon. Wow, thank you very much, John Vogel from Vince McMahon. We'll take lunch. Order it in for everybody in here. Instigators. So John Vogel in studio, Brian Duff. And we have talked a lot. John has had a bunch of thoughts out there and polls about trades and players and lineups and roster rankings. And Duffer, we have been, I guess, frustrating the hell out of Duffer because he doesn't want to do this. He hates doing it.
No, I don't. No,
he despises doing the who's going to play with who.
I don't. I love it. It's just it's too incomplete. That's the problem.
It's never too incomplete to have, you know, to just, you know, do an early one.
I guess.
So who
wants
to go first?
I just think there's, yeah. Let Johnny. I mean, Johnny's the guest.
Johnny drove in, you know, 4.5 hours to be here today.
Yeah.
And so we'll let you go first. I mean,
traffic bad coming out of a.
It is a long drive from Blaisdell, man.
You stopped and got some pizza, did you? So did you give the guys your thing that they put up?
Take a snapshot of it.
Why don't we go ahead and throw for everyone on MSG or watching at home, John Vogel's lineup as of today. This is all inspired by the absent Craig Rivet, by the way. The legend of Craig continues.
Who is fulfilling his duties as Instigator's GM to a T by heading north to a lake and getting away at this time of year, as they all have done.
Decompressing and doing all the work from the dock, right?
Yeah,
okay, well, he's doing
like
good work. He caught two minnows yesterday. Johnny, who do you have? I think the biggest question is they signed Skinner. I think the biggest assumption is Eichel, Skinner, Reinhardt. From there, I'll let you take it away.
I'm splitting up Reinhardt, actually, off the top line. I'm going to give the guy I mentioned a little while ago, giving a shot in training camp to see what he can do, is Curtis Lazar. I'm intrigued to see what this kid can do. I mean, he hasn't really gotten a shot. He had a good little run with Ottawa, but he didn't get much chance in
Don't
Calgary.
Shut the radio off. Don't shut the TV off. I'm just joking. I'm not hating this, but I want people to hear your point because
he's had a lot of games in the NHL.
Well, not with legitimate centers.
Okay.
He's getting 8 minutes a game, which maybe he gets. Maybe some guys just play better with better players. I mean, he played juniors with Connor McDavid, who I think is pretty good. So I think he's got a chance to keep up with Jack and Skinner. We're gonna get him a shot during training camp. If it doesn't work out, season starts with Connor Sherry on that top line. So I think we go Skinner, Eichel, Sherry as a top line, which gives us a second line. We'll go Victor Olofsson, Casey Mittelstadt, and Sam Reinhart. I think Sam could set up Olofsson. I think he's got the passing to do it. He can take a little of the defensive duties away from Mittelstadt, help him out a bit there, which was needed. Marcus Johansson gets a third-line left winger. I know there's been little talk about moving in the center, but I think he's just proven himself at the left wing, and you don't want to really risk moving him to center at the moment. Erod, once he signs, will put Rodriguez as the third-line center, and then Tage Thompson gets another shot in my book on the right wing. So that line, the third line at the moment, Johansson.
He's going to be given every opportunity.
I think he's a
guy that I. Sorry to
no,
just kind
fine.
Of halt you at your at the third spot here, but he's a guy that I think has a huge opportunity to. I don't want to say make it or it's not a make it or break it, but I feel like this is a kid who has an opportunity to come in here and take this team not by storm, but the perception of what kind of player he's going to be going forward and change that. And I think last year, Rochester coming to conditioning camp, which you saw him, I don't know how good he was or wasn't, but being here, I think is going to be a huge advantage for him, but they're going to give him every opportunity. I would have to imagine.
I think he's earned it. I mean, I know people were down on him last year because he wasn't scoring, but I think back to how many chances he created. Unfortunately, he didn't finish a lot of them, but he created chances almost on a daily basis. The fact they didn't go in was disappointing, but if he keeps doing that, as he matures, as his shot gets better, he's going to
get stronger.
Get stronger. Those chances are going to start going in, and he's going to be a legitimate player for sure.
And then on the – we'll call it the bottom – of the bottom six,
because
we don't want to call it fourth line anymore.
No.
I feel like we're all sensitive to a fourth line.
I think Jimmy Vesey a couple of weeks ago. I don't know. I was considering him on the second line, but I think he's gotten pushed down now to the fourth. I know people don't want to hear Vladimir Sobotka centering the any line, let alone basically any line, as I said. But I think he gets the shot. I mean, just the contract situation, just the new chance with the new coach. I don't think they send a guy making 3.5.
Did you do this lineup at 3 a.m. after a whole night of drinking or what? Jimmy Vesey on the fourth line?
Where are you going to move him? Is he
I'll tell you.
Okay. Right. I might have set you up for something there.
I like it.
Duffer, care to join? Care to
so
chime
we'll do
in
his here? Blue line after we do my forwards?
Yeah, we'll do blue line next. So I care to comment? Just let's just how many differences, if you want to throw John's top or his lineup right now in the forward line, if you want to just throw them up right now on the screen, how many things on his right now? He has Skinner, Eichel, Sherry, or Lazar, Olofsson, Mittelstadt, Reinhardt, Johansson, Rodriguez, Thompson, Sherry, VC on the left with Saboka or Asplund at the center, and Oposo on the...
I have quite a bit different. I can't exactly explain it.
Okay.
But
where would you like to start?
Oh, we are going to go my forwards now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, we have to start at the top because he's at the bottom and I'm at the top. And I think Jimmy VC today gets a look with Jack Eichel because of their relationship and because, quite frankly, I couldn't put Connor Sherry up there. I realize it's a possibility, but I'd rather give a fresh look to an existing relationship. And obviously, John and I are of the same opinion that it's time for Sam to come permanently off that line. Not permanently. There's going to be in-game moments mm-hmm. where obviously it's going to fluctuate. But Sam's got to help drive a second line that, in my opinion, is still without a centerman. And therefore, when you still have that absence, everything trickles down from that. I agree that Olofsson needs to be in your top six because if not, I don't think you're going to maximize not only his potential, but I also don't think you're going to reward what this, and some won't like to hear this, but he is now an older prospect. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm sure there's people out there saying that, boy, you've missed a window of his youth where he's good at scoring goals. Regardless, he'll come in at 24 and I think take advantage of the opportunity and hopefully be able to stay in that realm of the top six. I think because Johansson is so versatile, he can play anywhere, and I trust that he can help Casey Mittelstadt. I hope that Connor Sherry has a little more bounce back after his season, which was not un-Sherry-like, but it could have been a little bit better. So both of those two should be able to help Mittelstadt. I think CJ Smith gets overlooked a lot. Maybe that's just my personal opinion. I'm hoping that he has a terrific camp and earns the fourth line role. Again, this is where everything is in flux because there are just so many extra bodies and contracts right now, like Gergensen's, Larson, Sobotka, Wilson. Mm-hmm. They're not seen on this board because my hope as I sit here today has nothing to do with them, but it's more about optimism and opportunity being seized by a CJ Smith, maybe, and this is a huge maybe, for Arttu Ruotsalainen to push somehow, some way, and show some skill in a lower level role. Thompson, you and I are seeing Thompson the exact same way, whether I put him on a slash next to Sherry, a slash next to VC, an asterisk, whatever. He's got to have a dominant preseason. He had a good preseason last year, which earned him the right to stay with the team. Some would say he stayed too long based on the lack of results. Regardless, we know what skill exists within that big frame. Thompson has an opportunity to make it. So, again, there are missing names because I don't know what the ultimate goal is from the general manager at this point in time. Trade them, get something for them. Play this out until, you know, you then fall back on reliable people like Larson, you know, reliable in the eyes of them. Clearly, that's why you've qualified them. And in the case of Gergensen's, that's why you've given them a contract. So an awful lot in play still.
John Vogel in studio with Brian Duff and myself. We're going over the Sabres roster and what it could look like today. Obviously, subject to change. There's a lot of time left in summer. UFA, trades, all that stuff could happen. Maybe even offer sheets out there. Who knows what happens? Everything is so unpredictable. But some moves have been made. A few new pieces coming in already. Interesting that I want to touch on some players on your forward line, but I want to see the rest of your roster first, and I'll ask you questions about players that are on and may not even be on that might maybe will be on or should be on. Let's grab your defense. Down there, John Vogel. So John Vogel's defense up there. Let's see what his now. Do you have seven? How'd you do the defense?
I have seven at the moment. One is Bogosian's on mine at the moment, even though I know he might miss the start of the year. At the moment, I have a top pairing of Rasmus Dahlin and Brandon Montour. Second pair of Jake McCabe and Rasmus Ristolainen. Third pair would be either Zach, depending on his health, or Scandella, with Colin Miller as the right side.
Now Risto, you think he? You think he might be traded, but he's on there right now only because
this is,
he's not.
My list is based on today. Yeah, I mean, okay. He's on the team today, so he's there. I do really think he's going to be traded, which would move Miller up to the second or Bogosian. One of those two will be second or third line on the right side. But as of now, I have Ristolainen in the second pair. But I do think he's going to move, as we mentioned earlier in the show. I just don't think there's, I just don't think there's any way he's here when the season starts.
All right. What about you, Duffer? What's your
as easy as it is to put Jack in his place on the top line, it's the same for Rasmus Dahlin. And I think now the camp becomes interesting because who's the first guy to get the pairing with Rasmus Dahlin when they come out of the blocks in training camp. Whether it's Montour, who I like there as well, or Miller, who I put on my depth chart, obviously it presents a little different look than what we saw a year ago. And it's nice that the six on the blue line are going to have, maybe 33, maybe 50% turnover from a year ago. It helps the look. Jake McCabe, obviously, if we put up my pairings, McCabe has a chance to come back from injury at the end of the year, hopefully get through his arbitration here with also fewer scars than what he's earned over the last couple of seasons while actually playing. So you could have McCabe and Montour. And because it's right now, and right now Lawrence Pilot is hurt, I have Scandella there with Joki Haru, but again, this is not what I would project at full health. And I think everybody knows that if you're looking to fill a hole up front, Ristolainen is likely a trade partner. That's why I had the question mark at center on the second line.
I figured as much.
So, but also, again, if you're going to be a bigger player and you have to take on more salary among your forward groups, my expectation is that that could mean not only Ristolainen in a trade, but Bogosian and Scandella coming off the books in some way as well to create more cap space for this team. So, I think it's easy to imagine Pilot in that group of six at full health, and obviously Will Borgen is not far removed from it either, in my opinion, at least to start the year until the group, maybe gets to full health. And beyond that, we'll see where the chips fall. But it's an interesting blue line simply because of injuries for one, but also expiring contracts on others, and then of course the overriding name on all of it, which is Ristolainen.
Yeah, the defense for both of you, I think are, one has Risto on it, one doesn't. Both agree that you both agree.
I didn't like actually leaving Risto off of it. If I'm being honest, when I was filling,
it looks nice with the mark, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like it. I prefer him on it, but I don't like the look of the forward group without. I'm okay with the forward group because, again, there's a million other reasons to think and hope that they can do things differently and better. But I would love to add to the forward group. So,
and what
I'm going
adds
to do,
is a crucial piece, and
potentially, yeah. And who knows? Like, how big of a deal does it have to be? How much beyond Ristolainen? Is it Ristolainen and picks? Is it Ristolainen and something else on the roster?
Yeah, and
is it Mittelstadt? Is it Rodriguez once he gets it? Yeah, like, who knows? Who knows? There's just so much there.
John, we had the conversation yesterday. Couple guys in the back, we were talking, what is Risto's value? I mean, that's because it's not the deadline, right? Like, normally at the deadline, you're hearing what general managers are asking for players, or there are rumblings out there just so that, the buzz can start about what the team's looking for. I don't know, and I don't think anyone's ever said what's being asked for, what's being offered, what is fair value for Rasmus Ristolainen. I don't know if anybody knows.
I think this summer it is a top six four. I think it's a second-line winger, a second-line center this summer. Next summer there are a lot of right-handed defensemen who become UFAs, and I think his value goes down the longer we wait. So I think this is the summer that if Jason Botterill is going to move Rasmus Ristolainen, this is the summer to do it. I know there are people saying, no, let Ralph work with him, which is not a bad option. But if it doesn't work out, then you're really stuck next summer, and his value is way down. So this is the time. I think his value is at all-time high based on the fact that there are teams that need right-handed shots. There's not a lot of them out there, and there will be in the future.
We are talking, what will the Sabres lineup look like, with John Vogel and Brian Duff here on the Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG. Feel free to tweet. He's at
Buffalo Vogel.
At Buffalo Vogel. He's at Duffer Sabres, and I'm at the Instigator 76. Something interesting Zemgus Girgensons just signed a one-year deal for $1.6 million. Neither of you had him on his forward line, which I find interesting. I'm not going to go off on a Girgensons potential rant because I've heard about it all on Twitter and my love for Risto. I get it all the time. But neither of you had him on your line.
I could see him as a 13th forward, but yeah. I don't see him cracking the starting lineup at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, again, this is not me sitting here saying this is what Jason Botterill's team is going to be on opening night. If I was asked to do that, I probably would have put Girgensons there because he's already got a contract done, and you know, and it seems like the right way to approach it. This is kind of a mix of, you know, fantasy, reality, the great unknown, and with Girgensons, I mean, is he part of some package? Is he just a 13th forward? Is he a significant fourth line role player for Ralph Kruger? These are all great unknowns. The reason I constructed my forward ranks the way I did was because I was trying to fill it with more optimism and graduation, if you will, from Rochester to Buffalo by giving opportunities for players who may have earned it, like Smith and Thompson. Again, that remains to be seen, but I'm trying to be glass half full on what's been in the cupboard and what can now be opened up. And obviously, we don't know anything about what Ruotsalainen, you know, would be able to bring once training camp rolls around.
I know you're going for the optimistic view, but based on where is Sabocka going? Like, do they send him in his 3.5 down?
Here's the thing. If you'd asked me last year, where's Patrick Berglund going to end up? Nobody would have said where he did. So I don't,
coffee shop,
but I don't know. Yeah. Does Sobotka have, I literally don't know. Yeah. Does Sobotka have any interest in coming back? Was last year so sour for him that he would prefer to go elsewhere? Has he had a conversation with anybody? I don't know. Maybe he's just as excited as everybody else. Like you said, with Ralph Kruger, like maybe he already knows he's got a better role. I don't know. I'm just saying that anything is possible in sports.
Well, I think the one thing that motivates a guy like Sobotka after the year that he had would be fear of the minors. Now, granted, I mean, if you're looking at it from a business standpoint, you know, I don't think you pay escrow down there, but you know, I don't think this guy wants to be riding the bus and finishing his career on a $3.5 million contract playing in the minors. I think pride is on the line with that too.
So what? I don't want to say often, what can happen in a situation like that? He didn't earn a spot out of camp. Team decides to put him on waivers, no takers. Assigned to the minors, veteran, doesn't want to go, says, not going to do it. Suspension, negotiation, termination, he goes back overseas. These are all possibilities. And they're not driven by the club. They're driven by the player ultimately choosing where he wants to be if he doesn't make a big NHL roster.
I mean, it's tough to say, but that's the best case scenario for the Sabres.
Or he comes in ready to play. Yeah.
Right.
He's the player
he did with the Blues before he left once before to go to the KHL.
He had 33 points the year before he came here. He had 11 goals, I think, and 22 assists, if I'm not mistaken.
It's just a great unknown. And all I'm saying is that anything could happen. So I don't worry about when people are asking, well, what are you going to do with Larson, Girgensson, Sobotka, Wilson? Those are, again, there's a reason there are mechanisms in place. And if the coach is saying that everything has to be earned and all the other stuff that goes along with that, and if any of these players don't appear as top 12 players or top 13 at the end of preseason, then everyone on a contract can be placed on waivers. And after that, if there are no takers, everyone can be sent down. That, you know, is a reality of life in the NHL.
Yeah, I got traded at AHL training camp. It was at the Macaroni Grill. Hey, talk about a lunch to toss up after you get dealt.
Oh,
you just
boy.
Get sent down and settled in your apartment. Anyways, yeah. One thing I'll add about Girgensons, I think I like what you're saying. And with one thing, too, Girgensons signed, I think, if you were to move Rasmus and say you were to get a top two line forward, like say a centerman, well, maybe on their roster somebody moves up, somebody moves up, and maybe you need to get another player to kind of fill a void and down lower on your. And I think Gergensen's could be a guy that a team would want to take a shot on, and maybe give him a chance to rejuvenate his career, because I think he has some potential to be a solid role player on a squad.
And the fact of the matter is, and it was mentioned by our production crew before, in that if you are contemplating deals, and we've already seen this, sometimes deals, and I know, I can hear it. People are saying, there's no value for Gergensen's, right? Like, that's the fan base being how they choose to be. But sometimes in multiplayer transactions, you have to trade contracts because of the 50 contract max. Okay, we'll do this deal, but you have to take one of our contracts to even it out, so we're in a better place, because you can't exceed the 50 contract max. So look, Dallas just did it with Philadelphia. They acquired Ryan Hartman, then they didn't qualify him, and they let him walk as a UFA. Again, all these things are part of why hockey departments have more than just general managers. They have assistant general managers to understand the cap, to understand contract situations, and it's not just the 50, it's everybody's reserve lifts. You've got to know what's coming for every team, because whatever move they make, they've got something else coming behind it. And so you have to know their prospect pipeline and all that. So again, these are just things that can happen. I'm not sitting here saying they will happen.
Right. Yeah, the thing with Risto, I think any trade will not be a one-for-one. I think it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a huge deal, possibly, and just because it just doesn't work one-for-one. But like you said, you're going to have to throw guys in. They're going to have to throw guys in.
Right.
It's going to be – when it happens, and like we've said, we think it's going to happen. I can't wait to see it.
I'm not sold.
No?
It's going to happen.
No?
I
am literally in between both of you on this.
I mean,
I'm probably leaning more towards you, even though I just presented the board the way I
without
did.
Him.
I mean, I agree in the fact that
you traded him before today, but you
because what am I fixated on? And I was last year too. I kept throwing the question to anybody that was around. It was like, do you want your team to be better defensively or more offense in today's NHL? So I keep gravitating to more offense. So give me a second line center, which means make a big deal and. That could happen.
I agree. I think you need scoring. But you're not wrong. I mean, you look at a defense that could have Dahlin, Montour, McCabe, Ristolainen, Bogosian, Miller. That's a really good six. But it does leave a hole up front.
The blank are the most improved team of the offseason. That will be our first buy-sell trade. Find out who the question is. And you know what? Very soon, a couple more moves, and the Sabres could be in this category. Mm-hmm. I think there are a few other teams that might have made bigger moves right now, but the Sabres have made, they've acquired VC, they've acquired Johansson, they've acquired Colin Miller, they've acquired somebody, have I forgotten? Curtis Lazar, who Johnny Vogel slapped him on the top line. So you got a first line right winger for $700,000.
Give the kid a chance.
Our pets' heads are falling off. We'll be right back. WGR 550 and MSG, the Instigators.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Brian Duff and John Vogel in studio with me on The Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG. And let's get right into the buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. You know what to do. You go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway, and you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. So, first topic. I left a blank in there. The blank are the most improved team of the offseason. If I had to ask you to fill in the blank, what would you say? Or did you see the rundown?
I might have seen the rundown.
If I were to ask you, who is the most improved? Just kind of off the top of your head, just
Rangers.
Then the buy-sell trade presented.
Rundown.
Yeah, he didn't see the rundown. I know he didn't.
I did not.
Did JJ tell you in your
ear? No, nobody said
that's anything. Bush League. That's Bush League. The Rangers are the most improved team of the offseason. So they got Artemi Panarin at a discount rate and a heavy tax. Capo Caco easiest second overall draft selection since Jack Eichel. They got Jacob Trouba at a Craigslist price, Adam Fox for a song, and the New York Rangers are the 2019 offseason champions of the world. Very dramatic buy-sell trade. The Rangers are the most improved team in the offseason.
I'll buy it.
For sure. For sure. I mean, that's Panarin, I think, is going to fit in. He's going to love the spotlight there. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy who really relishes the spotlight, and New York's the spotlight capital.
So you're both buying this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sell because I think our next buy-sell trade is the team that I think is most improved.
Okay.
Colorado. I do. I like their moves. The Kadri one alone, I think, helps them a ton. You know, so but you guys are probably right, but you know me. I just like to be difficult and different, whichever one you want to use. Next, the Avalanche will be cup finalists during Jared Bednar's new contract. So they agreed to a 2-year contract extension with Coach Bednar after guiding the team to back-to-back playoff appearances. His contract runs through the 21-22 season, and the team announced it on Tuesday. So I'm gonna buy this. I think they will be in the Stanley Cup finals. I think they are the team from the West that will end up in the finals this year. And you know what's funny? I'm not just saying that because JR said it on the show, but I think he threw it on the show on Wednesday. Didn't he say Colorado?
He's pretty high on him.
Yep. He's pretty high on him. So
what do you think?
Let's say you go first.
You said 2 years contract?
Yeah, so it's through 20. There's three more seasons for us to do this.
Well, then yes.
Yeah?
You think they'll be a finalist? Yes, I do. I don't think it'll be this year. I'm not sure it'll beat them off the top of my head, but I do think that they got all the right pieces at all the right ages they're going to make a difference.
Single greatest superstar contract out there.
MacKinnon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's $6.3 million. He's going to get you 100 points for 6.3 for the next 4 years.
You love Grubauer that much, huh?
No. But I like the team and the defense. I'm going to tell you one thing I noticed in the playoffs.
Hey, Grubauer got a lot better.
Yeah, you know, but their defense is better than I think we give them credit for.
Well, hopefully for them in 3 years, you'll be really seeing the benefits. I mean, Bo Byram just this year, you know, how long does it take for him to have an impact on that squad? But they could be real good if he's anywhere close to Makar.
Makar's the real deal.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So, I don't love my answer here, but I'm going to sell because I'm more on the Vegas train than most. So I think there's a potential for Vegas to get back there. And obviously shouldn't count out the cup champs. And maybe there's still that one more window for San Jose. So
anyway. I think it's funny. San Jose... I don't know. I mean, people are talking like they're still okay without Joe Pavelski, and they might be, but mm-hmm. I don't know that they're...
Hey, they did pretty good without him for 10 minutes in Game 7.
He might have been that main motivation, you know what
are
I mean?
You,
yeah.
He absolutely was, and that's why the argument I'm trying to make doesn't work, because he is a huge loss for that team.
No,
I think it was just like... horrifying for that group to see their guy in such dire straits at that moment. But anyway, so
the Blackhawks are the NHL's biggest wild card. Anyone agree with that?
Buying
that too.
Big time.
Yeah.
Like, are we starting? I asked the question today about Pittsburgh. I asked you, remember? I said, mm-hmm. Is this the year that maybe we see
how
Pittsburgh?
Quickly did I dismiss that?
You dismissed it very quickly.
Yeah.
It was very quickly. And, but it's going to happen. So isn't now the time that we start talking about, like, Chicago just missed the playoffs?
Yeah.
Is this going to be that?
Chicago's on a rebound, though. That's what makes them a wild card, I think. And I think Leonard should help. And I think, I told you, I think Nylander's going to produce a bit for them. Not that he's going to be a story for them. But, I mean, they're not just Taves and Kane anymore. Right. Like, when you look at how last year finished with Strom and DeBrincat, like, I don't know. Like, if those two, I mean, I'm not worried about DeBrincat at all. And Strom just found that perfect place to land. I think they can easily be a lot tougher than what people thought they would be.
And you mentioned Robin. I'm excited to see what Robin can do there.
Yeah.
Well, I think.
And another motivating one-year deal, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The two biggest wild cards on the team probably are what make them. Was why I'm going to buy this in the first place, and that's Keith and Seabrook.
Mm-hmm.
You just what are they? They've played a ton of hockey. They're 34 and 35 years old. They've and I mean they have played tons of hockey. Yeah. So you just wonder, the long off season could help. Mm-hmm. Could help kind of refresh, rejuvenate, get them ready, any bumps and bruises. But at 34, 35, not that the amount of money they're making is going to affect their play, but my man, I mean, how is Chicago going to carry these guys into their late 30s on these deals?
I don't know.
Hey, it's like, what is going to happen? They got guys that are, Calvin DeHaan on 4.5 for 3 years. Ole Mata they picked up.
Help. I think, in theory, that takes a little bit finally off of Keith and Seabrook. So,
well, we talk about that with Rasmus, right? Bringing in, other guys. I mean, it should help him if you decrease his minutes a little bit. Sorry to go from a drastic change of conversation from Chicago to Buffalo, but isn't that's why you bring those guys in, right? As a supporting cast.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, they've not been adverse to change. And I don't know what Andrew Shaw coming back to them is going to mean, but some people seem to like it. Can Erik Gustafsson continue to be a top 10 point producing defenseman in the league on an expiring $1.2 million deal? I don't know. His season last year was off the charts offensively. So I don't know. They've got some prospects they're high on, and we shall see. But
do we ever see a day where those guys are moved? Keith or Seabrook?
It's tough. I don't know.
Who
takes those deals?
That's the thing.
I don't know.
Because I don't want to sit here and downplay their game, because they're great defensemen, and they both deserve their due for what they've done in this league. They're the guys that you wonder if they're broken down at this age and still have that game to be able to deliver at least half of what half of their contracts would be.
Mm-hmm. The big difference now is there's not a lot of teams that would do that anymore. I mean, you always go to Arizona and throw them somebody, but they're going to be pretty good soon. They don't want to take on those contracts anymore. So now
have enough young players that they're going to have to pay. Yes.
So the big challenge is going to be finding a team now to get rid of those big contracts, which won't be as easy.
So most improved team, cup finalist, and biggest wild card. I will ask these gentlemen when we come back, John Vogel and Brian Duff, quick segment on the other side of the break. I guess the question will be, realistically, who will fall out of the playoffs? Give me one team from each conference that will fall out of the playoffs for one of these other up-and-coming teams to get back in. We'll ask that question, see what they have to say before we wrap up for the weekend. Reminder, Monday we are at Danny Gare's Golf Tournament, the Units Golf Tournament. We look forward to that. 11-day power play going strong. They're downtown until Monday at the Harbor Center. And we'll be right back. Instigators, final segment for the week. WGR 550 and MSG.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Looking at a picture here of Connor McDavid playing mini putt, but he's in a knee brace. You guys see that one?
Not.
I feel like that's old. Is it fresh?
This email is from Friday, April 12th, unless it's from last year. It's today, the 12th.
Do I know my Connor McDavid knee hockey knee brace picks?
Right? No. That's not concerning for anyone?
What?
Maybe this is a few weeks
ago. Of course he ended the year with a knee brace. Everybody knows that. You've been doing this too long. You've forgotten more than you know.
Well, why is this new news? Why is this sitting in my email from Jeff Colton?
I don't know. Why does his stupid trade thing of Taylor Hall for Rasmus Ristolainen from 4 years ago keep popping up?
That is amazing.
That's popped up a few times.
Every year at this time. June of 2016. So, 3 years old.
Who is falling out of the playoffs for you guys in each? Because that was the question I wanted to ask you guys before we got out of here.
Real quick, who was in the playoffs? Help us out.
Okay. So, we gave you guys are funny.
We're good.
You guys were actually having issues with that to start that break. So, who do you have falling out? Because supposedly in the East, Florida is going to get in. Everyone in New Jersey is excited because Jack Hughes just signed at 9:08 this morning, so the Savior is under contract.
Yeah. If I had a bet, I mean, I think Columbus could fall. So are we picking multiple teams?
One's good.
I think it might be one. Maybe I think the Islanders could have a little drop. So
not the year for Pittsburgh. I'm going to say this might be the year for Pittsburgh to fall off. I think we need to see it. It's time.
I mean, here's the thing. The Penguins were actually, within the final 2 weeks of the year, very close. I mean, they did not have a spot locked down. It was ultra tight between the teams in the Metro and the wildcard teams. Yeah. There was a handful of points between, and had it gone...
It was so exciting.
Had it gone the right way, Pittsburgh could have easily missed last year. And then based on how their first round went, some were thinking they maybe shouldn't have made it.
The start. So, what about you in the East?
You and I have similar thoughts on Sid, though. I mean, do you really see that happening? I don't think he lets that happen, but... Anyway, I think you looked at my sheet also. I had Columbus and the Islanders falling out. So wow. I think they both do.
What about on the West? Are there any, you know, we talk about teams that have significantly improved. I mean, does anyone fall out of the West? I mean,
Winnipeg, depending on how the rest of their offseason goes, but it's too early to predict that. But I mean, if something drastic happens on the Line A and Connor front and they don't seem to adequately fill the void. And I only say that, and I like Winnipeg, obviously, but the competition is fierce, I think, and it's not going to be easy.
Who's your favorite? Did you say in the buy sell trade Colorado? And well, that was for the next few years. But do you think St. Louis can make it back out again? Because I think Dallas has a serious shot right now with some of the moves that they've made, the veteran pieces. Will it be enough? I don't know, but.
Yeah, that's a team. I mean, that's great. Yeah,
that's a team I think we forgot to talk about when mentioning most improved teams in the offseason.
Dallas?
But yeah.
Yeah. No, I think they've done well. There's a, you know, it's a bit of a, you don't want to put too much stock in Corey Perry and Andre Sequeira at this point. But, I mean, I think they could be good pieces for them. Could be is the right. I love Pavelski there. Yeah. I think that's a terrific move for them.
Let me ask you this. So somewhere.
How are they going to replace Valeri Nichushkin's no goals in 57 games, though? That's what I really want to know.
Say that again, JJ. Sabres just re-signed Johan Larson.
Well, there you go.
So
is he on your? Was he on your?
He was not on the list.
Not. Okay.
But okay. I don't know what they said.
Misery loves company, brother. Guess you and I got to go back to work.
Yeah, back literally back to the drawing board
well,
for Monday.
I knew they had him on a qualifying offer, so right. He was under consideration. Mm-hmm. But I think he's the first or second line guy in Rochester.
Well, remember, like if there's a move, you said there could be a hockey trade. If there's Absolutely. A trade, you think it'll be a bigger deal involving Risto,
which could be multiple deals still. Yeah. That's, yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of where this offseason is headed. It's been more active than I think people realize.
Usually by now I got my feet up a little more, taking some more time off, but I'm phone's always on. There's going to a lot happen.
I mentioned additions, and I totally forgot the Jokiharju deal when I mentioned VC Miller and Mojo. You guys are all calling
Mojo.
Mojo. So I think Larson is another guy very similar to Gergensen's that maybe one's here, one's not, but I feel like either one could be that piece that a team would want in a deal if they had to take a contract. As you guys mentioned, John's mm-hmm. about to check his phone, see why it didn't get the notification and the bell didn't go off on Twitter for the update. And,
the thing is, I mean, you look at Larson and Gergensen's and Spoka. That's three.
Wilson.
Yeah, and Adam Wilson, that's $8 million. I mean, the Amerks would be a mighty expensive team if they sent all four guys down to Rochester. So I don't know what they're going to do.
That won't happen, but I would have Wilson on my squad. I like the way he plays. Not a household name. You know, yes, he's your culture guy, Duffer. Duffer, I love these guys. I love those kinds of guys, all right? I love the guys that actually can execute the simple plays, because nobody appreciates the simple plays, not even you guys, and that's something
not
to be
true.
Said.
Yeah.
Hey,
we'll
and you know what? How about this?
How about
it's
we continue
National
this on
Simplicity Day?
Wow!
Let's keep it simple, boys. Great show. Thanks for coming on, John Vogel,
pleasure.
Kind enough
my
to
pleasure.
Join us. One Bills Live next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.